Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the board. If it's Tuesday, it's a throwdown. It's Talking Geek with Tyler Brook, live from Pearl River, New York. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it live in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. Show goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay down the red carpet, put the podium in its place, and hand off the mic, and just before I do that, take note, next Monday, not next Tuesday, but next Monday, we'll be doing a live show. That's July 18th, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock on the Pacific side of things. And we'll be back to regular schedule on Tuesday, which would be July 26th. So please make a note that we'll be on next Monday instead of next Tuesday. So, Tyler, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, we got a great topic, budgeting for geeks today.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me, as always. If you want to get a hold of me, shoot me an email, Tyler Brook. That's BROKE111@gmail.com. Hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, or if you want to go to the contact page on geektalkwithtyler.com, for simplicity's sake, you can do that as well. I'll be around, and yeah, I'm doing pretty good today. How's your day going, Mark?
Great, as always, and thank you very much for asking. And let's dive into this topic. I know it's something that you thought about and you wanted to bring it to as far as the title goes, budgeting for geeks. So for the average person that's listening for the first time that doesn't know what this means, when you break it down for them, and we'll get into this great topic tonight.
Well, budgeting for geeks is something I use as like an umbrella term, but these are tips that can literally pretty much help anybody. I'm going to start off with, Mark, you want to tell me what streaming services you have currently?
As far as like Hulu, Netflix, YouTube.
All right, that's a solid lineup for streaming services. If you want to see the latest Marvel movie on Disney Plus, or you want to catch the latest DC thing on HBO Max, here's what I recommend for all of you. Share it with a buddy. Or a friend, or even a coworker that you're on decently good terms with, or a family, like what I do. I want to give a shout out to my sister, Olivia Howarth. She lets me use her Disney Plus account to watch things like Marvel, watch things like all the other phenomenal stuff like Gargoyles, hashtag keep it in Gargoyles. In exchange, I give her and her family my HBO Max account, which has wonderful show programs, like the Harley Quinn show that's going to be dropping season 3 a little later this month. All the Ghibli movies, phenomenal work if you're not familiar. And, yeah, a bunch of classic movies, like Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Well, let me get into that. Well, you're talking about streaming services now. We've heard the problems Netflix has been having. They've lost a lot of subscribers of late. Is there a reason why they've been losing subscribers? I know cable, you know, in some of these areas have overpriced the people to a certain extent. It's almost like a conglomerate as far as the cable services go. But, you know, if you have competition, that means the prices come down. But when you look at what Netflix went through, are you kind of surprised at those guys losing subscribers? Because I thought Netflix was an adequate streaming service, and it was great, but I'm just surprised that they've been losing customers left and right.
Honestly, at first, yes. Now, I'm not as surprised, and here's why. Netflix service was like the streaming service back then. Netflix essentially killed Blockbuster. You remember that from way back when?
Yeah.
Yeah, it killed
Blockbuster.
It's been quite a while. And now we have all these other streaming services. We got our Paramount Pluses, our HBO Max Plus, or HBO Max, excuse me, Disney Plus, Hulu. And for you anime fans, we have Crunchyroll. So it's just the way evolution goes. Now that we have all these varied streaming services, there are some where we decide, do we want to keep this? And some we don't want to keep. And then there are the premium ones, like, say, Peacock or YouTube, where you get for free, but unless you want to upgrade, you got to sit through the commercials. And that, either way, that's how they get their money. But honestly, what Netflix has really great content, great original content, I should say, like Squid Game, that was a huge phenomenon. But a lot of the time, they can't keep the titles they hold, and that seems to be a big problem with them. And I hear rumor that they are going to have to add commercials, though. So that's another hesitant move Netflix is really going through right now. But let me ask you, Mark, is there anything currently you're watching on Netflix?
Well, there's supposed to be The Gray Man coming out and stuff like that. I've always liked the stuff that they've had, you know, some of the series and drama stuff that they've came out with. But that's why I always thought when I looked at Netflix, it was kind of giving HBO and Showtime a run for their money. And the thing is, you know, when you look at the cable industry today, you know, people are paying high price in cable, and the reason is it seems like one, you know, company is running roughshod with this thing so they can, you know, run, you know, as much as they want and drive up the prices because, you know, they hold the key to it unless there's other companies out there. We've seen the Dish Network. We've seen DirecTV. But what I like to know is in the future where this thing is going is it's going to be really interesting because, you know, I think with entrepreneurship and everything and with people kind of breaking away from big companies and doing their own thing, I think this is going to escalate into something where people are going to have their opportunity to move their own shopping cart down the street and sell whatever they want. Any thought to that and any thought to these cable companies?
Honestly, it's hard to get your stuff out there. And today, today's day and age, it's kind of hard to make a buck with original programming. And this is the problem DC really has. This is the contrary I have that we have between original content or stuff that doesn't get shined upon as much to what's more familiar. Like, say, Batman is a well-known superhero. But DC has a plethora of other comic book characters, Green Arrow, Lobo, Huntress, Black Canary, all these other guys, but yet DC seems to focus on Batman and Superman because it's their moneymakers. And I get that on a business level, but on a fan level, it is kind of annoying just to see pretty much every other title DC holds, media-wise, it's either Batman or Superman.
Well, let me ask you, what about, why aren't they marketing, and we haven't seen this in a long time, why isn't the Green Hornet coming back? I mean, that was a villain, that was a character, right? Why isn't that on the same platform? It just seems like some of these companies, you know, they go to the well and they market or promote two things over the years, and we all know Batman, we all know Superman. Now, you know, we kind of push, you know, Robin into the mix and Batgirl and stuff like that. Now we see Black Widow and stuff, but how come we haven't seen the Green Hornet in this thing or, you know, pushed like all these other things have been pushed and even as far as a villain or something? Any thought to that?
Well, that's a good question, and the answer is simple. The Green Hornet belongs to neither DC or Marvel. So that answers that. But as to why we don't see many of these other characters, it's a familiarity thing. Like, for all those that were grew up with the DCAU, Static Shock was a very popular show. It was. It was to tell the story about a POC kid who grew up in, I want to say, Detroit or Chicago. I'm not entirely sure which. I'm spacing on that right now. But he eventually gets these powers and becomes a superhero. But the problem is, every person I speak to about this, almost no one remembers that he is a DC character. I mean, he did have a few crossovers with the Justice League, Batman, and Superman. Almost no one remembers the fact that he is a DC character. And that's kind of the hard thing with this whole what's familiar and what's new aspect that we have going on.
Well, let me bring up Sal from Germantown chiming in. He says, guys, what a show. I like this show. I got this thing penciled in now. Thanks for the update. Next Monday, I'll be listening. I want to know, maybe you guys can tell me, what happened to the Pokemon phase? Oh, that's a good question from Sal in Germantown, Pennsylvania. Any thought to the Pokemon phase? That was a big thing a while back, and then it kind of fizzled out. Any thoughts as far as where that thing is headed? And when, I mean, I think it's still there. People still talk about it, but the you know, going to look for certain things in certain areas, and I mean, that was a big thing back then. It's kind of fizzled out. What's your take on that?
That is a very good question. And when Pokemon hit, it was a game changer within the gaming and anime community. And I can tell you, as far as anime openings go, the original one was by far one of the best anime openings of all time. But here's the thing, they just kept spitting out more Pokemon, and people were still engaged with the next generation, with the next 100 Pokemon that came out. Then they were like another 100 or so, and then it just kept dying down from there. It's like, oh, they're making more Pokemon? So while many people who are diehard fans still love it, and there are some new fans, it just doesn't develop the same hype domestically as it once did. But if you go to Japan or Korea, they are all gaga for that shit. Much like One Piece. It's one of those things that are just more popular overseas than it is in America.
Good take. Janice from Norman, Oklahoma, chiming in. What's your takes on EA Sports? That looks like that's been doing stuff across the board. That's a big gaming thing. A lot of stuff coming in from Japan and China, I've noticed, and yeah, very interesting with the whole Pokemon phase and stuff like that. I've been enthralled with the Harry Potter series. Any takes on that, guys? Really listening to the show live here as I'm barbecuing in the backyard. So, Janice from Norman, Oklahoma, talking about Harry Potter, talking about EA stuff, talking about stuff that's coming in that Japan and China are kind of, you know, bringing into the forefront. And as far as, you know, we all know the TikTok and stuff like that, but that's some great questions across the board. We can break them down one at a time for Tyler, if you want. Take the Harry Potter series. We'll get into TikTok stuff, and then EA, if you want.
Okay, well, let me do the Harry Potter question. Not that out of the way. Harry Potter, for its time, was very awe-inspiring. A lot of people were heavily invested in it. I myself was it when I grew up. I realized I'm more of a Lord of the Rings man. But I think what made Harry Potter less popular is Twitter, and I hate to say it, it was because of that J.K. Rowling tweet. For those of you that are unfamiliar, she said something that could be seen as anti-trans. I really didn't read it that much into it because I'm really trying not to be political or societal. I'm just trying to be a person, not really trying to get all these contradictory things going on. So that did play a part of it, but it was also the fact that a lot of people who were, like, really heavily Christian were anti-Harry Potter. So I think that may also have played a factor in that aspect. But so what was
okay.
The EA question?
Well, the EA, you know, I see EA Sports coming across, and that's been a big money gamut here, fantasy and stuff like that in sports. Across the board, you see a lot of people with doing stuff with that, heavily involved in that. And then the other thing would be the whole TikTok craze.
I don't understand TikTok. It just feels like a very short clip. It's like, you remember that Matt TV sketch with Stewart? It's like,
yeah.
Look what I can do. Look what I can do.
Yeah.
That's all I really feel TikTok is. It's like a lamer version of YouTube. And many people do believe that it's China's way of determining what we like and don't like. Honestly, I don't disbelieve that. It does make a lot of but back to the whole budgeting aspect, I would just try to find ways to pool money. If you live in a state that does recycling for 5 cents, definitely hang on to them. That's just basically free money.
Right. We've got Bill coming in from Oceanside, California, first-time listener to the show, says, what about the cards in this industry? I know the trading cards are huge across the board with a lot of these things and stuff. It's probably right up there with baseball cards, if not more. The trading is just unbelievable. And credit card companies and stuff are shows and says it's interesting where people will spend the money and buy these things. Any thoughts to that?
That's a very good question. And I will say trading cards have always been a thing. If it's not baseball, it's Pokemon. If it's not Pokemon, they're Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And if it's not Yu-Gi-Oh, it's going to be Monster cards. It's basically another way to get your merch. And what many companies do really well. Well, and I also kind of touched on a lot of conventions, like your Comic-Con, your but yet a lot of people still can't pull you out of their parents' house. It really shows your priorities in life, that you can spend $100 at your convention, but you can't. But that's just my 2 cents right there for you.
Right, and when you look at that in the credit cards and whatever it is, it costs money for people to put the credit cards on there as far as the buying the cards. But, yeah, that's a big industry. We talked last week about the Comic-Con. We've talked about how people buy the outfits, show up, and all that. This is an industry, and we're getting a lot of comments now talking about not millions, billions of dollars people across this country will spend in stuff. Any thought to that? And there, it's a big marketing tool for the DC, for the Marvel type of conglomerates out there, wouldn't you say?
I would answer this question in two ways. The first way I'm going to answer it as a businessman, and the second question I'm going to answer that is as a fan. Businessly, they're doing phenomenal with that. And it makes sense how much they jack up the prices because there's nowhere else you can go to get this stuff, and it's very popular, very hyped. And a lot of the guests they bring here, they bring from either comic lore, they bring from animation lore, live action lore, from all these different aspects, all gathered one into one place. And it's just capitalism at its most raw state. Now, as a fan, I'm not always fond of how much these either the tickets or how much it costs to meet people or the merch or even the food there costs. So my advice, some water, try to fill up on water. You can't be too hydrated, not to mention convention crud. Very real thing. It's when people don't hydrate themselves, they're impacted in such area and they feel nauseous. Always drink water, drink water, drink water. I cannot stress that enough. And if you can bring like little snacks, like a bag of nuts, some pocky, maybe a bag of chips, just something to keep you full, but not, you know, full.
Ted from Cranston, Rhode Island, chime in, and he says, guys, I know all about these prices. You're not sharing any news to me that I already don't know. If I'm going to buy a Batman T-shirt, I'm not buying at a convention center or anything like that at the Providence Civic Center. I'm going to buy it at a Salvation Army where I can pick the darn thing up for pretty much less than $5. I go to one of these things, I'm paying $35-$40 easy, and who knows if they're not throwing tax on top of that. Wow, that's a great question. I'll let you take that one first, Tyler, and I got I want to chime in on that one from Rhode Island.
That's a very interesting point this gentleman makes, and he's not wrong. If you can buy cheaper, do cheaper, and a lot of times when you see something you really want, count to 10. When you look at something, it's like, oh boy, I want that, count to 10, and if you still want it by the end of 10, then get it. If not, walk away, because that's what a lot of times these items are. They're, wow, look at that, you buy it, it's like, I don't want this, and then you end up spending $40, $50, hundreds of dollars on something that you're not going to use. Word of advice, you can't exactly eat a statue or a figurine. Okay? I mean, yes, it's nice to have, And if I was a billionaire, my apartment would be filled with a lot more of them. But business before pleasure, they say.
No, and I'll tell you, you know, the interesting thing about what that gentleman was saying is you can go to a Salvation, you can go to one of these things, you can find one of those T-shirts, and, you know, I've been in those places. I've found, like, a $48 Boston Red Sox hat. If I bought it in a mall, I've got that thing for, like, $4.99 in a Salvation, brand new, hardly not even worn or anything like that. It was just donated. So if this guy is coming across a Batman shirt and, you know, you go buy that in Comic-Con and that's going to cost you $35, $40 easy, we know how much the price they jacked that thing up. If you can get it for $5 in a Salvation or something or a thrift store, I think it's more power to you. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Absolutely. That is a very smart move. If, like I previously stated, if you can buy for less, buy for less. There's no sense in spending, I don't know, $50 for a shirt. I mean, unless like somebody signed it, then maybe. But even then, I wouldn't spend that much on clothing. At least for a shirt, anyway.
Right. Okay, I'll continue on with your budgeting for geeks as we're down to about 8 minutes and some change in this great show.
All right, so we've covered sharing streaming services. I would do that. We've just discovered if you can save cans and bottles for some extra scratch around the house, make sure you can do that as well. And when it comes to conventions, drink more water and try to fill up, otherwise you're spending $20 on a hot dog.
Yeah, so you got that right.
Yeah,
keep on going.
Movies now. Movies are stupidly expensive. If you're going to see anything in theaters, see at least one good thing in theaters, so that way you can still keep the industry alive. But I don't think you need to see every single Marvel movie or DC movie that needs to hit theaters. It's just too expensive. And don't get me started on the snacks. $5 for a thing of milk size. I can go to a CVS and get one for like 99 cents.
Right. That's exactly.
So,
okay, so what's on your mind now with some of the movies that are out there? Is it worth seeing some of these, or what's your take on that? And then I'll throw some change on this.
Last thing I saw in theaters was that DreamWorks movie, The Bad Guys. Actually, not that bad of a film. It was a redemption arc done right and explained why they are bad guys. That Wanda movie, it was a Doctor Strange movie, kind of annoyed me, actually. Like, this whole time, and spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, this whole time, she apparently made these kids up in her head, and she's killing everybody just to get them. It's like, they're not even your kids. I don't know why they just didn't do a, why don't we take you to another universe where that version of you died, but your kids are still alive. Just straight up Rick and Morty that shit.
Right.
So honestly,
yeah, well,
movies, feel like, I feel like a lot of the times movies don't have the same integrity that they used to, or the same plots or the same stories. Like, my favorite trilogy of all time is Lord of the Rings. Phenomenally casted, great scenery, CGI effects were phenomenal for its time, as well as all time. And it's got to be pretty good if the whole thing won 17 Oscars for the entire trilogy, 11 within the last film by itself.
Right. Okay. As we wrap this thing up, we still got about, 5 minutes and some change to cap this. What's the cap this holding as far as budgeting for geeks?
If you can find a way to save money, do so. We can't live in a, we don't afford, or like I say, most of us really can't afford to be proud at this moment. So if you can find ways to save money, whether it's sharing streaming services, only attending one con, like recycling, do it. And there's, I mean, what's the worst thing that happens? You save some money? That's great. Oh, it's always better to think about the future than what's happening right now, because you can't.
Well, let me throw a question, to you, Tyler. With everything that's going on in today's society, with inflation, with people just barely making it and stuff, what's the long term effect of this? What's going to happen with if you want to go see a movie? I know people, you know, will see a matinee to save a little money. They'll try to bring their own popcorn or candy in, sneak their own Coke in if they can. But, you know, what is the outcome of all this? Because I think with the way everything's going today, and if people are scraping, the movies aren't going to be a big part of it right off the bat. There's going to be other ways to subsidize that, unless they're, you know, if you went to a movie once a week to catch the latest version of movie coming out, you might be going to a movie once every month or so. So to bottle that all up, what do you think as far as from a business standpoint, how would you work this over to the fan standpoint of things, where if everything's going up and people can't afford it, we've already heard from the guy in Rhode Island talking about he's going to buy a shirt at a Salvation or a thrift shop. He ain't going to go buy it at a Comic-Con or stuff like that. Is that where we're going down the line from now, or are we going to just people are going to figure out a way to just spend money to go see these things?
Honestly, to whoever who's listening, you are more than welcome to do what you want. That's the beauty of being an American nowadays. You have money, spend it however you want, but if you're really hurting, please take my suggestions. I would try to find cheaper ways to find money, like, say, matinees, or how people are buying, are going for the live streaming services where the movies just drop on the streaming services that day. And I would say you can bring in whatever you want, a freaking bag of Burger King, a five-course meal, whatever. We're just going to pay a little five extra, a $5 for it or something. Just try to find a way to make it rewarding for both the people who are going there as well as the business itself, because one really can't exist without the other.
Well, and let's hypothetically say if you got the streaming services like we were talking earlier with Disney dropping it on to Netflix, dropping it on their own channel or something. We've talked about the Peacock and everything. So if people have that option, that means nobody's going to the arenas, nobody's going to these stadiums, nobody's going to these events, and that means they're losing money then. Because even if you're making it on the streaming services, you're still losing it on the parking, you're losing it on the concessions, and you're losing it on the merchandise. Would that be a fair way of assessing this?
It would be, but ever since COVID hit, time has been tough for everybody. But the strong do survive, and the weak, unfortunately, do perish in the business world. So I would try to find ways to be more, I would say, more cost efficient. Like, if you bring in three people, you can get two in, like, at half price. At least some way of making it beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, because something's better than nothing.
But as of right now, between COVID and financial situations and the price of freaking gas, also another way, if you're doing events, try to find a way to carpool. Like, hey, I'll drive everybody just to chip in for gas. It's another cost-effective way to save you all money.
Right. As we wind down the show, we'll be back next Monday. What's going to be the topic next Monday, or are you going to keep the listeners guessing?
I'm going to keep the listeners guessing. It's fun to keep things guessing. I've waited over 20 years for one to end, and I'm still asking so many questions. So if I can wait over 20 years, they can wait next week.
Okay, and let's let everybody know how they can get a hold of you till then.
Yeah, sure. You can contact me at Tyler Brook, that's Brooke, 111 at gmail.com. Hit me up at Facebook, Tyler Brook. Hit me up at Instagram, Tyler Brook 111. Or, yeah, those are pretty much the main ways you can get a hold of me. And if you would like to support your local artist, go to my Patreon page for the Geek Talk with Tyler page, or feel free to reach out to me, or, hey, what merch do you have, and how can I get a hold of it?
Well, as we wrap this thing up, guys, thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Talking Geek with Tyler Brook. live from Pearl River, New York, out there. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this and playing a little co-host with him live in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So until next Monday, mark it down, same time, same channel, a little earlier. We'll be on 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 on the Pacific time zone, and then back to regular schedule live on Tuesday, July 26th. Till then, have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for the top of the hour from Cleveland, Ohio. Peter Ray will have Bill North on that one. Have a wonderful one, guys.